Today, your smartphone may be your next CQ contact. Next on Live Free and Ham. All right, well, hello and welcome to Live Free and Ham podcast. This is your bi-weekly show during which we discuss ham radio topics in New Hampshire, New England, and beyond. So whether you're a regular listener or first-time guest, we are always excited to have you here and appreciate your support. And we appreciate your thank you for tuning in tonight's episode, man. I'm tripping over my tongue today. All right, well, so let's get into the show. I'm your host, Eric, call sign N1JUR, and I'm with my awesome co-hosts.
Hey, it's Paul, N1OJ.
Todd, W1STJ.
Awesome. All right, well, hey, before we usually get into our topic, we like to touch on a few things to catch our listener base up. Obviously, always, our storefront is up on livefreeandham.com/shop. However, we're sad to report that the Hostile Takeover t-shirt has ended. So by the time this podcast airs, so you won't be able to grab that any longer. But keep your eyes out for some future stuff coming. We're always coming up with new ideas and creating new shirts. And, you know, as always, I want to thank, and we all want to thank, you know, those who have purchased shirts from us in the store. I know Steve KO4 AFL, I think it's called, from Ham Radio Clubhouse, just put one
AFL
last the shirt for the Hostile Takeover. So that should be in his hot little hands in the next couple of days. So we appreciate him supporting Live Free and Ham as always. And, you know, say, hey, if you haven't, you know, picked up some stuff, I want to say we went to HamX literally last week and I saw three people wearing Live Free and Ham stuff. So it makes me happy inside to see you guys wearing our stuff and, you know, wearing it proudly. So keep on doing it. You know, even if it's as simple as picking up some stickers or our hats, you know, they are the best things to, you know, show the love to the show. So, you know, as always, you know, everything you, you guys buy on the store helps continue to support and keep the lights on for the show. And so as, you know, we always love feedback, including obviously our shirts, you know, and you are maybe the texting type. We now offer the option to review us via SMS. So if you're texting folks, you can hit the link down in the description, both in our podcast and
as you guys suck.
Yes. Any bad feedback will go directly to Paul to be read, you know, in a future episode. But you can use that link to tell us how much you love us, to, you know, share, you know, what's going on. And you know, we'd love to hear about it and we will definitely read it on our next show. So, with that, we are going to dive into our
doing good.
Good.
Doing good.
You do. That's good.
Do good. Do good.
You're doing good.
Good. Good. Good. Good.
Good. Absolutely. I do. Good. Good.
Doing good, Bob. Doing real good.
And right now, my only outlet is my ham radio.
Roger that. Well, we want to continue to further this segment on, no matter how much you guys refuse to keep hearing this over and over again, we're drilling it home to say we want to hear the good that's going on in ham radio. So, you know, we know, you know, HRCC is spinning up the salted ham segment in his podcast, and we're against that process altogether. We want to be able to show the good in ham radio, and we're tired of, you know, given the light to the, you know, those bad actors. So, you know, this is an opportunity. If your club, if you guys gather in a bunch of guys and gals get together to do a POTO event and you had an awesome time, we want to hear about it. There's no need to, you know, let that, you know, stay hidden. We want to share it with folks. We want to spread the word. We want to make ham radio great again, as they say. So with that, you know, you can always send us an email to livefreeandham @gmail.com, and we will make sure we read that. But, you know, I'm digging deep into the basket, and I have seen zero in the inbox. Any of you guys see anything? Anything even getting spammed?
Nothing.
Nobody's doing anything good.
This is
just a bunch of sad hams.
Utterly pitiful, you know? So we are going to, you know, put a kibosh right on this right now, and we're going to tell and we're going to beg you as our listeners, take 5 seconds, use the SMS text to tell us what's going on. I don't care. Send a carrier pigeon. If you want to hit us up on the air and we happen to be in a POTA and you want to interrupt us to say, hey, I've got an awesome do good segment, we'll stop and listen. That's, I mean, we're committed. We want to hear about it. So, you know, there's no excuse, you know. If you can do it via CW, you can do it via APRS, although be short. You know, any mode, figure out how to send us something and we'll share it on our next episode. So outside of that, you know, I think, you know, there's not much more we can do. I mean, I know there's some cool stuff coming up in the future for us and our club, but, you know, I want to hear about everybody else's. I don't, you know, I assume you guys are in the same boat.
A double points if they send it via Winlink.
Oh, dude. Yeah. Yes. We will invite you on personally and you could be on one of our live streams. How about that? I am throwing out the gauntlet. If you
send
via Winlink and we share it on the next one and we receive via Winlink, then we will have you on our next live stream. How about that? You know, and I will hold myself and these guys will hold me to it. So you heard it here. All right. Well, so with that, we've got a little bit of another segment that we always like to do, because now that Todd is back and, you know, summer is almost over, we're going to be rolling into the usual.
And now for something a little extra with Todd W1STJ.
All right. Well, you've heard it here. We are picking back up Little Something Extra with Todd, and he is in full view and full form here. So we are ready to rock and roll.
Just before we start, I met a kid at the Ham Expo who was what? 11? Was he 11 or 12?
Oh, yes.
He was an extra. He was an extra. And I'm like, are you kidding me, kid? And his dad was a general, and he goes, yeah, he surpassed me. So his dad gets him in the ham radio, and the kid goes right past him and has got higher privileges than his old man. But I was pretty impressed. I said, how'd you do it? He goes, I just memorized all the questions. I'm like, great.
There you go, Todd. There's the trick. All right. Well, you've heard it here before. This is where we always help Todd with his extra class license. And some weeks he needs a lot of help. Other weeks he's been superb. You know, I think our last episode, I helped him get to a certain point. Two out of three wasn't bad when I stepped in to fill in for him. So, you know, you could definitely, I'm sure, you know, take the crown there, Todd.
Yeah. And hey, those of you that are studying, the Ham Study app got even better. They had an update. And now it tells you in the right corner, it tells you how many times you've seen this question and how many times you got it right or wrong. So you can feel like a total loser when you've had it like five times and you keep getting it wrong. But well, anyway.
There you go. So if you'd like to follow along, Todd said it, head over to hamstudy.org.
Yeah. The app is definitely getting better as we go on, and I'm liking it more and more, which is getting me to study a little bit more. So. Cool.
All right. Well, without any further delay, I'm going to hand it over to our VE Quizmaster. Take it away, Paul.
All right. Well, I finally got the layout right. So now we look good. Everybody can see the full screen. All right, Todd, are you ready for number one?
Yes.
All right. Now we're sticking with the easy sub-element number one.
I have to get.
We don't want to challenge you too hard.
I got to get above 80 on that, and then we'll move on. Okay. Right? Isn't that what I need? An 80%?
Just that segment. All right, come on. Yeah. That's a refresher to the tactician course.
I never said I was smart. That's why I got in the ham radio.
Oh, no, smart. Don't discredit yourself, sir.
All right, go ahead.
All right, Todd. For the first question. Under what situation may a station transmit third-party communications while being automatically controlled? A, never. B, only when transmitting RTTY or data emissions. C, only when transmitting single sideband or CW. Or D, on any mode approved by the National Telecommunication and Information Administration. Say that three times fast.
NTIA.
All right, I'm gonna go with B, my final answer.
B is correct. How about that?
Great job.
All right, off to a great start. Question number two. To which of the following examinees may a VE not administer an examination? You notice there's a not in there. Is it A, relatives of the VE as listed in the FCC rules? B, All of these choices are correct. C, employees of the VE, or is it D, friends of the VE?
Well, Paul, I'm going to go with A, relatives of the VE.
And A would be the correct answer.
I want a spell check. Does examinees, is that actually a word? Because it doesn't feel like it's a word.
It is. So examinees would be the same as a testee, which is, it's the person taking the exam or the person taking the test.
Or something that hangs a little lower than usual, depending on the weather and time, you know.
Testee Coles. All right.
All right, Todd, you got two right for the third and final question.
I don't want to hear that song.
Pressure.
Oh, you better get it right. All right, here we go. Which amateur radio stations are eligible to operate as Earth stations? Is it A, any amateur station subject to privileges of the class of operator license held by the control operator? B, any amateur licensee who has successfully completed the AMSAT Space Communications course? C, only those of amateur extra class operators?
Which would be Paul and I.
Or is it D, only those of general, advanced, or amateur extra class operators?
It's either A or D. I'm going to go with A.
Yes, sir. A is correct. 3 for 3, Todd.
Didn't have to hear that song.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's 100%. We can go to class. We can go to section 2.
Are we moving on? All right.
I think we're ready. All right. Well,
we're ready.
That was successful. Nice job there. Coming from section you're very well versed in and very well educated. So I'm happy to say that we're going to progress on and move forward. And so if you're on the journey to studying for your technician general or extra class like Todd, hamstudy.org is an excellent resource for getting your ticket. And it's a great update. As Todd said, it's someplace, a tool you definitely want to get into your study sessions there. And so we also want to say, if you recently received your license or upgraded, let us know. Send us an email at livefreeandham@gmail.com, and we'll recognize you on the next episode for all the hard work you put in and effort. And we're definitely going to make sure we mention you on the show. So, all right. Well, with all of that, we always have a little fun there at Todd's expense there with studying. But,
I want to make a suggestion. I think after I make once I make my pick, I think Eric needs to make his pick since he is an extra. And then we could see who really knows their stuff.
I will take 5 random questions.
No, take my questions. I'll answer it first and then you can pick.
So you want me to actually take the VE test all over again? Can I do that, Paul? Is that possible?
Not the test. When we do this online, okay, right? When we do this on the show, I'll make my pick. And then you make my pick. You either agree with me or pick something different.
All right. Well, I'm game for that. Okay. I'll play that game.
Now, what's going to be really funny, though, is if you pick something different, Eric, and Todd gets it right and you get it wrong.
Right. That's what I'm hoping for.
Here's the little caveat to that. I'm still an extra, even if I get it wrong.
Yeah. It's accurate.
All right. Well, with that, in our usual show format, let's ask the question. Hey, Todd, what's been going on in your ham radio week?
Let's see. Well, I was down at the Cape and I did one activation, wildlife refuge down on in Chatham. It wasn't a great activation. It was good enough, though. I got about, I don't know how many contacts, 20 contacts maybe. And then I tried Friday and I had the worst. I didn't even get the start because I set everything up. My SWR on transmit was like 1.3, like the best I've ever gotten it on my Buddy Pole Pro. I was all excited. And then I heard nothing. Nothing. The whole band, nothing. No one. There was no, huh? It was plugged in everything, and my SWR on the receive side was at 9, and so then I switched. I said, okay, let me go down to like 15 or 17. I tried it, nothing. So I don't know what was going on. So I didn't even start it. So I was already.
It was an antenna problem.
Yeah.
Should have used that bug out, man.
Yeah, I should have used the bug out. But yeah, that's about it for now. Didn't do much besides that. But I looked back at my log, and I've been doing a couple of activations a month. So I'm pretty psyched about that. I've been doing more than I had been in a while. So.
Well, that's good. I mean, you had a goal that you wanted to get out and do POTUS. So you're definitely doing it. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
Very cool. Awesome. Well, glad you're back from vacation for sure. You know, it's always good to, you know, continue to do your vacation on your vacation, you know, for 3 months. So, you know.
And I have to go back to work on Tuesday. Not looking forward to that. I asked if they were offering the early retirement.
Yes, that's kind of sucked.
Their early retirement packages. And they said not yet, but it could be coming. So it's either I get an early retirement package or I get 7 more years.
Oh, that sounds like prison. Thanks. All right. Well, with that, over to you, Paul. How was your Ham Radio week? And hopefully it has nothing to do with prison.
Oh, no, absolutely nothing to do with prison. Actually, you know what? So because technically, like, we're missing a week because I was on vacation as well. So just before I went on vacation, Todd and I went out and did Russell Abbott State Forest. Despite him thinking that there was an antenna problem, the Reliance Bug Out Mini did a fantastic job. We got 32 contacts and it was great.
We got our first contact was 10 meters, California, like strong 5.9.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Right? It was awesome.
And just a sidebar, we have affiliate link, you know, 10% off using Live Free and Ham and free shipping. So make sure you use that.
There you go. It's a fantastic antenna. I can't rave about it enough. But anyways, back to my ham radio week. I sat down on Tuesday night this week, and I didn't get to use my radio at all because the guys on a ham radio clubhouse were using my radio. But it was still fun to sit here and participate in that. And I fired up the amp for the boys and get them a little extra power so that they could break through the pileup. I forget who we were even trying to get that night.
RCC. Ham Radio 2.0. Yeah, it was Jason.
Oh, was it Jason? Okay. Yeah. And then, well, I got Jason again the other night. So I got him, I think, Friday or Saturday. So yeah, it was good to get Jason in the log again. You know, I haven't had the chance to play a ton of radio, but for the little bit that I got in there, it was definitely fun. I've done a lot of video editing, and hopefully we'll have a couple new videos coming out this week. So stand by on my channel for that nonsense.
Well, his link's down in the notes there, so make sure you go check him out and subscribe if you haven't, because. Yeah, you just hit like 111, something like that, subscribers so far.
Yeah, 111.
Sweet. That's awesome. Totally cool. On his way there, you know, Todd is our next, we'll call Grasshopper. We'll, you know, work him slowly into getting his channel going there, you know, due time. He's already got some of the equipment. So, you know, only a matter of time before we start seeing more things from him, too.
So, Eric, how was your ham radio week?
Oh, well, wow. My ham radio week has been a mix of a lot, I'd have to say. I mean, obviously, you guys have been on vacation these past, you know, it's been almost about 2 weeks on and off. And so I have been pounding out videos left and right. Obviously, we went to HamX just recently. Todd and I went there and hung around with a bunch of great guys and people and folks and got to shake hands and say hello to a lot of our subscribers. So. That was always awesome to see people that, you know, we see subscribe to our channel and as part of the Live Free and Ham community. So, you know,
yeah, it was definitely the best one I've been to.
Yeah.
It was a good time.
They did a great job this year. It was good to see Flex. It was good to see Ellicraft. It was good to see, I got to hang out on sidebar. Mark, from Halibut Electronics ended up, coming. Oh, not ended up. He was coming anyway to HamX. And because, you know, he also was doing a forum talk, he was like, dude, could you watch my booth? And I'm like, all right, I'll watch your booth. I can't tell people like to the in-depth degree all your products and everything's going on. But, you know, I understood most of them. He had his, RF choke tester. Yeah, go ahead.
You did a good job. I mean, I sat with you for a little bit and people were coming up and you're explaining it well.
Did you sell a bunch of eggnogs for him?
I said nothing. I sold nothing because I wasn't given the keys to the kingdom to actually process any credit cards. But I told them, come back at 2 once Mark's done with his OHIS stuff. But I really like, I think I spent a lot more time telling people about OHIS and his station and user consoles just to push that. And people were like, oh, I'll have to come back at 2. So, you know, hopefully you got a good couple of good sales from that. And so, you know, and again, if you have, you know, haven't watched that video, you know, head over to our channel. You can check that out. Mark does an awesome job with all of those equipment. And, you know, we also have a 10% discount too as well with him that you can use. The affiliate codes in our links below. So check that out for sure. But, you know, my Ham Radio Week outside of HamX was a kind of an interesting mix. Like I long story short, my daughter had to go to, I had to drop my daughter off the Boston Logan to, you know, at 4 in the morning. So what did I do? I packed all my radio gear and said, I'll drop you off at 5 o'clock and dropped her off at 5. And I waited around for an hour for the park to open at like 6:30 and watched the sunrise. And the park I worked with, a beautiful park, which was Castle Island in, I think it's Walpole is where it is. But it literally overlooks, you know, the bay. And so I have all these large cruise ships coming in. And you know, I took a lot of video and I started to set up a res antenna, which I got for an eval, which was awesome because the antenna set up perfectly good. Nobody bothering me, you know, it was all fun. And I made the stupid mistake of plugging my battery in the night before into a charger that wasn't plugged into the wall, but didn't pay attention to that. So I literally made 3 contacts before my radio decided to shut down because it was getting 11 volts, you know, and not able to stay on. And I couldn't figure out why. And then I realized, oh, I must have charged it into a plug into a charger that wasn't plugged in.
And you didn't bring it back up.
No, yeah, that's exactly my point. So, like, you know, what did I do? I whipped out Instagram and made a stupid, you know, point of like, hey, always charge your battery or freaking bring solar. You know, that's the one thing I did not bring was solar. And so if I had solar, it probably would have saved my bacon there because it was a beautiful morning and, you know, good weather. And I probably could have activated for a good 2 hours because I really had nothing to do that morning. And, you know, so... You know, it was short-lived, but still fun, and I learned a lot, you know, for the 4 or 5 contacts I made with the res there. So that'll be on my channel soon. And, you know, outside of that, we're back in the swing. We're back in the saddle, as they say, so I'm looking forward to talking about tonight's topic a little bit. All right. Well, with that, you know, we've been busy on obviously with vacations and stuff. And so, you know, we're kind of recording this right around Labor Day weekend. And so
it is Labor Day weekend.
It is for us. Yes, exactly. So by the time this airs, it'll be a little bit after Labor Day weekend, but
we've only got one more day left.
I know, right? Happy Labor Day.
We'll be working to a working man after that. I flipped on the YouTubes, as they say, in the morning with my morning cup of coffee, and I saw a certain individual making comments on Coffee and Ham Radio's live stream that I thought, you know, was kind of interesting because if you're interested, we'll leave the link in the description below. But it was a Coffee and Ham Radio's episode where they were talking about like all the latest and greatest ham radio equipment and stuff, and a certain device kind of came up. And, you know, so when that came up, I kind of paid no attention to it and was still, you know, kind of watching in the background. Then I saw a certain, host from Live Free and Ham making comments about how, he wouldn't let his cell phone and, RF, crossover, church and state needs to be separate, you know. And I kind of triggered my thought. I'm like, oh, well, wow. Hey, that's Paul, you know, he's commenting, and they left that comment up, and T.O., you know, made a comment around it, and you can always go back to that video and check it out. But it kind of made me think a little bit. I'm like, you know, hey, like where is this kind of process going in the ham radio world? Where are we, you know, going towards, like, what's kind of the end goal? Like, are we getting more towards like application software, SDR based kind of tools and devices where like the hardware isn't like a traditional, like, you know, DX10 or, a 705 or anything like that. It's like, are we getting towards more of a place that, you know, is ham radio going to be more software based, that no matter what the device is, as long as it has some RF communications in it, we can use it to, you know, make connections. So it kind of got me thinking. So I passed off to the guys. I'm like, you know, let's first, you know, talk about the big thing here. You know, those that, you know, may not know or may not be aware, there's a new device. And if you're interested in seeing this, because our podcast listeners, you know, get the added advantages of not seeing any of this whatsoever, you can head over to our YouTube channel and check out this episode. The big device that kind of came out is the ComJot CJ1. And I don't know when it did. And I only heard about it on Coffee and Ham Radios. This is sort of like the R-Finders device, if you've seen that in the past. But the big catch to this device is that it's open source. You know, it's a mix of both cell phone, because it uses all the providers, and it's a Android-specific device that does RF, and it does 2 meters, 440, APRS. It does WinLink over RF. There's a lot of great features in it, which kind of got me thinking, like, okay, let's talk about the first thing here. Like, because I know Paul made a comment, and, you know, I'm with him 100%. You know, what's your thoughts on this device and, you know, kind of where it stands? And then let's kind of bring that out a little bit bigger and talk more about, like, you know, software in general in terms of ham radio. So, Paul, you know, go ahead, talk a little bit about your comment there on, you know, cars.
All right. Well, I'm sure that I'm probably going to ruffle some feathers here, but I feel like, you know, I mean, I'll be 43 next month. All right. So I'm not really that old, but I really feel old these days because I just don't understand a lot of this technology stuff. And I say it all the time, right? Ham radio makes me feel dumb every day, and that's all right. Right. Because there's always something new to learn. And I love learning new stuff, and I love, you know, kind of putting it out there. Hey, you know, check this out. Who would have known? But yeah, no, I was doing like you. I was sitting there having my coffee and watching, you know, what's new on Coffee and Ham Radio. And I said, why would anybody want a cell phone that doubles as a radio? Like, one, I mean, I absolutely hate carrying this big brick around everywhere I go. But you got to do it, because in today's day and age, if you don't have your electronic leash and somebody tries to get a hold of you, all hell's going to break loose and the world's going to fall apart. Right?
Yep. It'd be a search party looking for you.
Yeah. But, you know, they didn't respond. The places that I enjoy being are the places that my cell phone doesn't work. So why would I want my radio built into my cell phone? I want my radio to work in all the places that my cell phone doesn't.
Right.
That's just me. I don't know.
Yeah. Man, it's an interesting conundrum. Like, I struggle. I mean, I'm with you. I'll be 50 in January. So, you know, Todd's probably the older, wiser of the crew here.
Older and dumber.
Hey, you know, splice it however you want. And so, I'm like I'm my job, I'm an IT. And so I'm tethered to that damn, you know, little smartphone, like you said, all the time. And it's, you know, it's a device I love to hate. And if I don't have to use it, I don't use it. And if I do use it, you know, I use it for work and I, you know, or, you know, for my social media channels and stuff like that. But that's really the extent of it. And so when it comes to RF, I struggle, because it's like, I would love to carry one device. Like, that would be perfect for me. But I also don't want to carry this device with an antenna that's literally 6 inches or 5 inches sticking out, because it becomes, what are you carrying? Why are you carrying that? And I don't want to spend half my life having to explain all the time. Yes, exactly.
Hey, how you doing?
Why are you saying CQ in your phone? What does that mean? Like, are you talking to someone specific, you know, or Roger, or what's this N1JUR call sign? Like, you know, that to me is just like, it's so foreign and so like backward.
I'm with Paul. I don't see the need for it. I mean, look, you got Echolink. So you can get on some, if the freak, the station or whatever you're trying to call is on Echolink there, it's right in your phone anyway. But like, who wants to carry around a phone with a huge antenna on? I mean, I put my phone in my back pocket or my front pocket or throw it on the, I mean, people would be like, what kind of phone is that? Thing's old school, right? Because remember, we used to have phones with huge antennas. Like, I mean, I get the idea behind it. Like, oh, that's kind of cool. But I don't know. I just think I would rather have a radio. If I want to be on the radio, I'll be on the radio. If I want to be on my phone, I'll be on my phone. I mean, it's kind of like an all-in-one, I guess. But like I said earlier when we were talking prior, is if it was 100 watts HF, well, then... Imagine. Then I might be interested.
That thing would overheat in my hand so quickly. I'd be like suffering from third degree burns at 100 watts.
Yeah, it'll come with fire gloves.
But for what, Todd? So that you could do FT8 on your phone? Because I'm pretty sure you can do that anyway.
No, I just, my reference was not technically as a phone. I just really want a portable 100 watt 891 replacement. That's all. So if it comes in a phone form, great. If it doesn't, great. But
now my heart is in the BlackBerry days. Like, I don't know if you remember like the early BlackBerries, where basically the only thing you had was very limited, a shitty browser. You could text and you can email and you can call, and that was about the sum of it, and that was great, right?
Palm Pilots. Remember Palm Pilots?
Yeah. Now don't.
I was a big Palm Pilot guy. I had all, every time they came out with a new one, thought it was awesome. You could have a scheduler on it. You could have you could take notes on it.
Now you hate your schedule.
Yeah. I hate everything about it.
But so, yeah. So don't get me wrong though. Right. I mean, if somebody was to send me one of those ComJot devices or an R Finder device, I would play with it and I would enjoy playing with it. I can't see dipping into my bank account for something that I'm going to play with for a little while. And it's not going to be an everyday carry thing, because I'm just not going to want to carry it every day.
Right. So wouldn't be a replacement for your cell phone whatsoever. You would still carry it
separate. Right. See, that's what I'm thinking. Is it supposed to be a replacement for your cell phone?
Yeah.
That's the intention.
So the intention is, instead of buying like an iPhone or an Android phone, you would buy this, and this would be your /cell phone/HT all in one. So yeah. it wouldn't be like you'd have a cell phone and then you get this additionally. Like, this would be your cell phone.
Yeah.
Yeah. You get basically with it, there's two flavors. I think there's the the Google less version, or the non-Google certified version, which is just a plain Jane Android version, which I think would be, you know, less, phone-like, and it'd be more radio-like. And then you've got the Google certified one, which gives you all like the Google kind of stuff and everything else that, you know, kind of makes it more of a smartphone.
So my other hobby, my flying, my RC, my radio, that my transmitter, they call it a radio, but my transmitter that I control the planes with, is Android based. So it's newer, it's been out a couple of years, and it basically has an Android phone without the, you know, LTE or 4 or 5G or whatever. It's just the operating system. And within that, there is an app in there that is the RC controller. So, but what's cool about it is I can go onto Wi-Fi, or I can go on a hotspot, and I can pull things off the web. If I needed to look up
website or something, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, if I need to look up a website, or I need to look up a manual, or find something out, you know, it's all available to you. Not that I couldn't do it on my phone, but like it imports stuff, updates online, so you don't have to do cards or whatever. So, I mean, it's kind of cool, but again, it's nothing that, like, it's not necessary. It looks better. Like, the screen is more colorful and clearer and that kind of stuff. But I think for a phone, and plus I go through phones like every 2 to 3 years, right? Like, my phone just dies. Like, the battery dies. I mean, right. And is there a sell back? Like on an Apple phone, you know, I've been an Apple guy, and I basically get a new phone and they're like, oh, we'll give you $800 for it. Well, I paid $900 for it. Yeah, yeah, $800 for it. And then I pay, you know, $200 for my next phone for 2 years. So what is this? Like, after it died, the battery's going to die in 2 years, then what? Do you have to, do you get to exchange it, and do you get $800 for it, or do you get nothing? You
buy another $1,000 radio.
Right.
Well, on the ComJot website, there is a page for estimate how much your trade is worth if you want to trade in your device.
Right. But my question is, can you trade in the ComJot after a couple years?
Well, I would assume that they would rather you turn in a ComJot device than a regular cell phone.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean that's a good point. I mean, like, a lot of us just use our cell phones as kind of, we'll say, just like a microwave. I mean, you use it for X number of years, and then after that, you turn it back in and get a new one. You know, it's kind of that ordeal.
And you turn your microwaves in?
Yeah, I do. With where my wife works them, yeah, I definitely have to replace them every like 5 years. But
all right, you replace them, but do you turn them in and get money back for them? Trading program?
Probably not. But that's the benefit of having cell phones, I guess. You know, so yeah, it's like that. I did not think about that side of things. The one thing that kind of like made me interested was like, okay, here's the scenario that kind of plays out in my head. It's like, all right, I've got an RF like device. And it has a Bluetooth capability that allows me to bridge to like a cell phone or something like that, because say it's like a Quancheng device that, you know, there's a couple on the market that do that. My cell phone has the data port out to the internet. So if I wanted to do update to apps or update to like get a new database for repeater book or whatever, or get the updated, you know, latest area that I'm in for. somebody's buzzing.
Sorry.
It's the R Finder calling. like, I could see how the data being all on one device, including like on the ComJot, would be perfect. But at the same time, like, I don't want to answer phone calls. Like, I don't want to confuse that either. Like, be like, press the PTT and like make a phone call and like by accidentally tell the person that I have on the phone, you know, hey, you're 5'9" and, you know, whatever, you know, that just doesn't like, yeah, that just kind of crossed over. But the data side of it in one device makes total sense, because you've got APRS built in this device, and I could see a total benefit to improving APRS. The one thing we all know that APRS sucks as is that the manufacturer's rollout of APRS, Yaesu, I'm talking about you, is horrible. It's garbage, and it's a hot dumpster fire. So, you know, having something similar to be able to send a reply via APRS, you know, all in one device, whether it's through an iGate or through an RF side, that is pretty attractive to me. But yeah, phone calls, no, we're done. You know, just shut that side of it off. And I think the device would be pretty good, not for the price point at that, you know, that cost. But,
well, you know, you talk about that. Maybe the issue is like, if your radios could connect to your cell phone, would be more, to me, would be more appealing than having it all in one. Because that way, if I wanted my radio to connect to my cell phone, I could do that through Bluetooth. Perfect. But if I didn't have to have it, I wouldn't have to carry my radio. And there's a lot of good HTs out there. And there's a lot of, you know, not so good ones. But if you really want an HT, you know, what, $300-$400, you can get like a top of the line HT. Right. And you know, you still have a cell phone, so I don't know. I mean, it's
true.
It's a cool idea. It's a cool
connect to that $300 HT.
You know? Yeah, I know. Well, maybe someday it will. But I mean, it's a good concept. It's a good idea. I just don't know. It's not something I would want to. I guess I'd have to see it and like try it out and give an opinion. Like, I don't know. I wasn't a big fan. Like when phones switched from the keyboards, remember how they used to have the touch keyboards?
The T9?
Yeah.
And they went QWERTY.
Yeah. I was like, I am never getting one of these phones without, like, because I like the touch, you know, the texture of it, I guess. And then everything, they all disappeared and you had to get one. And then I finally, you know, I had no choice. And then I was like, all right, well, this works better than I thought it would, you know, but I guess you'd have to try it and try it and see if it would be something, but I don't think I would be willing to spend $1,000 just to try it and find out I hate it.
Well, but so, all right. So here's another point, right? And if you've been following along with temporary online offline videos at all, right? Now, I think he's on his fourth Quancheng, and he keeps hoping for a red one. And the latest one was a beautiful baby blue.
Blue or yellow?
No, it was blue.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, the
latest. Wait, you don't get to pick the color.
Well, he doesn't.
That option.
But so I watched this video though, where he, you know, he Bluetoothed to his phone, and he connected the radio to his phone, and he ran APRS and all the things that he wanted to do. And it's like, well, why isn't that good enough? Why do I need a device that is a radio in addition to my phone, when I could just get a cheap radio and link it to my phone? You know, and then the stuff that you're carrying in your pocket doesn't get any bigger, because you just, you know, like, it just is what it is. But I mean, I do appreciate, at the very least, though, that, I mean, they say that the ComJot is compatible with Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, and any wireless reseller such as Boost, Mint, et cetera, which all of those little ones, they work off the big, you know, groups anyway. But
that's a positive. I mean, so it's not like it's on its own, you know, it's on towers. I mean, it's using the big guys. So
yeah, that definitely, I mean, in essence, that the fact that they're staying lockstep with the technology that's already out there, instead of like building something that's like, hey, let's go to micro USB instead of USB-C kind of deal. And so it's in my mind, I think it's a wait and see. Like I saw our Finder come out with theirs, and it, in my mind, it really didn't take off as much. And I got a chance to play with them when they were at Hambex 2 years ago. But it wasn't like I was like, oh wow, I gotta have this. It was, yeah, it's a good idea, but it's not fully flushed out in my mind. Like, it needs to be really like, you gotta like make the RF, if RF is important, because obviously the ham community that you're targeting, RF should be the higher of the two values versus the cell phone being equal to that. Like, I think in the customization of the OS and all of that stuff, it should all be very much like RF centric and less about the cell phone and smartphone kind of capabilities. And so where the ComJot's like offering a smartphone like interface with the Google certified stuff, or just a plain Jane Android, it's still kind of a smartphone, you know, functionality. It's not like really like you get when you install, say, Windows versus a Mac. You each get their own experiences because it's their own proprietary system. Like, I'm only going what I see, but I'm thinking like, okay, I'm just getting this flavor of Android or flavor of Google Android, and it's both, it's RF and it does RF, but at the same time, it also does regular smartphone things. And like, for me, it's like, I don't want that. Like, I just don't want more smartphone things. I want less.
Has there been a review? Has anyone done like actually have one and done a review? Like, what do they say? How good is the radio? I mean, is it a Yaesu quality, ICOM quality, or is it more like a Baofeng quality radio?
Well, it's a DMR radio, but so Jason Ham Radio 2.0, he did do a video on it. And I'll put the link in the notes, but yeah, he did do a video on it. So,
all right, well, I'll have to watch that and see what he thought of it. But I mean, those would be some of the questions that I would think. I mean, you can tell, you know, if someone's on an HT and they're on a better quality, I mean, they're just clearer and better, and you can hear, you can tell like, okay, you're on a Baofeng, and you know, you sound like you're farther away, or it's a little crackly, you know, it's not as good.
Funny you say that, because that's like, that's hardware specific. So
it kind
I'm thinking, but go ahead.
Yeah. I'm just thinking like, what's the hardware like? Like, is it just Chinese crap, or is it good quality stuff? Like, is it, I mean, clearly they had to work with some kind of a manufacturer to get the RF stuff, right? Like, it's basically you created it from two different kind of companies, a cell phone company, right, or tech company, and then a ham radio company who builds radios, and you combine the two. So what radio company was he worked for, or is it something that he just came up with, or did he take, you know, parts from different, I mean, how did it get created and what kind of radio is it?
Well, I can talk.
Yeah. Yeah. No, go ahead. Cause I'm sure you've got the info in front of you, but it's a DMR and FM analog.
Right. So there are, so if you take the RF piece out of it, you've got a smartphone. So basically it's like the typical Android you know, processors and all of the other kind of stuff with it.
Mm-hmm.
The big thing that we haven't talked about, which we'll talk about in a second, is the open source side of it, which I think is critical and important, you know, kind of point. But when it comes to like the RF side, there's a couple of RF chips and stuff like that in it. But again, those chips are also, we'll say open sourced in terms of being able to do the RF components. So like you have like, I don't know if you've like, seen or heard, watched some videos on like the T-Tower, like that is now becoming like a full like two-way radio kind of style. So this is basically just an ESP32 that's running the APRS software. But it does eye gating, it does digipeding, it does now, they even have a firmware that does like the two-way radio piece of it. I can actually use this on the 2 meter frequency with repeaters. And like, it's no bigger than, you know, the size
T-beam.
Of, you know. Yeah, exactly, right. And, you know, it's pretty slick. I mean, the APR stuff on it that I've played around with, I've been pretty impressed with it in terms of it working. And that's all open source too as well, but it's using this kind of same chips. That's in this ComJot, I assume. So the RF stuff is like not proprietary in the sense of like, you know, Yaesu or any of the other guys. It's all the codecs that they're using, which are all open source, which really makes the thing work the way it does. So like, whereas Paul was saying DMR, like DMR uses a specific codec that allows your voice to be translated to digital. And so same thing with FM. So yeah, there's a lot of open source stuff chip wise in there.
Are you ready for the nerd stuff?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, I'll give it to you. All right, so the operating system runs on Android operating system, ensuring a familiar and customizable user interface. Yeah, the processor is an octa-core MT6762 CPU clocked at 2 gigahertz, providing a robust platform for both communication and application needs. So you get analog and digital. You get DMR with VHF on 136 to 174 megahertz, UHF 400 to 470 megahertz, making it a versatile tool for ham radio enthusiasts. It's got built-in AES encryption that when you want your conversation to be private, it stays private. Supports a wide range of GSM, WCDMA, which is old school, TDS CDMA, CDMA, FDD, TDD, and GPRS, as well as voiceover LTE. You've got Wi-Fi on the 2.4 and 5.8 gigahertz. 4-inch IPS display and a 1.3 megapixel camera.
Well, funny you mentioned that. Like this, let's put a stop there for a second. I was thinking when I saw that, I was like, okay, this is the reply to Yaesu's garbage microphone media. Todd, you ever see that microphone where they sell it at like $75? It has the 480p camera in it, which, you know, you're supposed to be able to take pictures and send them over the air to other Yaesu radios. Like, I looked at that, I went like, I could barely see the photos. They're so freaking grainy. It's like my, you know, my old iPhone 4 takes better pictures than the crap that came out of that camera. But yeah.
How many megapixels is it?
1.3.
Oh no, it's the front camera's 8. And the rear camera is 13.
The rear camera is 800,000 pixel.
Yep, so that's about 8 meg. So that's lockstep with most like low-end Android phones. So, yeah, that's not bad, dude. You know, being able to send photos, that, or if they built some software integration to be able to do that, that'd be cool.
Yeah, it's 64 gigs of storage and 4 gigs of RAM. So, mm-hmm. You know, that's not bad for memory. You know, 7.6 volt, 3000 milliamp hour removable battery. So there's that answers your question there, Todd, right? So when your battery is junk, you just swap it out.
Yep. That's a definitely plus.
Yep. Okay.
It is IP68 rating. So it's
waterproof. That's good.
Yeah. Able to withstand long periods of immersion in water, it claims.
Oh. So when you're going down in the plane, you can you hit water, you'll be perfectly fine for a good couple hours.
Yeah. So it says, it's a robust and versatile device that bridges the gap between amateur radio and smart device functionality. Its blend of traditional radio features with the capabilities of modern smartphone makes it an intriguing option for amateur radio aficionados, outdoor adventurers, and professionals who require a rugged, reliable communication device in the field.
Brought to you by our personal K5YVY.
Oh, if only I could get the Joe Brett voice.
So you read some awesome specs there, which I think, like, obviously are the kind of the smartphone side of things that we all, you know, kind of learn when we buy our cell phones every 2 years or refresh some stuff. But, like, there's some benefit to that, which I think brings me to that question next. It's like, is ham radio getting more away from hardware? Like, okay, I should frame like this. So growing into ham radio, we all have a radio at our desk. Like we have a 705, we have a 7610, we have a 7300, or we have a DX10 or a Flex. We'll put Flex aside for right now, but we have like a
706.
Radio with knobs and, you know, a front end, a FEP and all of those like pieces that make up a ham radio that we know. Is the hobby going that way? Are we comfortable with that idea? Like us getting more software based and less hardware dependent. And two is like, are like the manufacturers slowly getting to like the big three, like Yaesu, Kenwood and ICOM, are they getting more towards like that? Like, let's just put together a software package that, you know, resembles ham radio and RF. And like, is that good or bad? Like, well, I don't know. What's your thoughts on it?
All right.
Well,
sorry, Todd. I'll give you a second here.
No, go ahead. You go.
All right. So it reminds me of the conversation we had about the infotainment centers, right? In the vehicles. Okay. Because here's what I'm noticing and here's what I'm seeing is there's a definite shift. And I believe that it probably started with the 7300, right? Where it was the first kind of SDR based mainstream radio. But I think that the shift going forward is going to be a lot more SDR based and a lot less old school technology radio based. And that's where we're gonna get the integration into the infotainment systems in our vehicles, and we're gonna get the integration into our cell phones and everything else. All right, go ahead, Todd. Sorry.
I've been doing flying RC stuff a lot longer than I've been doing ham radio. So just to use that as like an analogy, so the ham or the RC stuff, the technology has just gotten so intense and made things so easy. Like it's almost like it became not fun anymore, right? Like they've got stuff that, you know, they call it, smart flying. I don't know. Well, it sucks. It's like, no matter what you do, the plane will only tilt so far to the right, so far to the right, so far down, so far up, you know. The idea was is like, oh, if you don't know how to fly, you know, this will reduce your chances of crashing. So I'm like, all right, I get it. I get why they came out with it. But they also now have stabilization, which is like, you know, it's like the plane will fly straight even if you hit it left or right, or if a gust of wind comes, it won't. Now, what's good about that is if you have a light plane, like a light foam plane, a cheap plane, and it's a windy day, it'll fly like a bigger plane because you're getting that assistance. Me personally, I like to just fly the basic, like the motor, servos and control it. And if the wind blows it away, then I got to bring it back, right? Like manually flying it.
Unassisted.
Kind of like unassisted, right?
But I'll fly along with that
guy. Yes, drones are the same way. When drones came, when they first started coming out with quadcopters, they were very hard to fly. They were very tweaky. It was hard to hover. You had to keep moving it. Now they've got all these gyros in them. Like a one-year-old could fly it. But if technology failed, all these people flying drones are going to be killing people because they're going to go all over the place because no one knows how to really fly it. And that's one of the things that. So my thing with ham radio is if we get all technology, then are people going to forget what ham radio is all about and how the radios work, or, you know, what's the purpose of it? Because if the technology fails, then none of your radios are going to work, right? Okay. Like if you have an SDR radio and the computer is freaking, someone gets a bug or whatever, and the whole internet crashes, and then what? Then you have a useless freaking paperweight. But if you have an old radio that's not SDR that you can just get in and get on the air, then, you know, you're back to the old school. So would you
follow your DX10 as old radio or your Flex 6400 as old radio?
Well, both of mine are, I mean, the DX10 I would say is more older, but it's still an SDR, right? Yep. So maybe my 891 would be the one that would actually work, right? Because it doesn't need it doesn't have to do anything with any kind of software or computer. It basically, okay. I mean, right? I battery it up and boom, right? There's nothing I need. I don't need the internet. I don't need a computer, you know, on hand. I don't need to check anything on it. It just works. And I guess that's my thought of, as technology grows, we're going to get away from just the very simple of how radios are, and they're going to become more automated, and it just may take the fun out of it.
Todd, I want to be the first one to welcome you to the Tinfoil Hat Club.
I wasn't going to say it here first, but yes. Thank you, Paul. No, I agree kind of. And if I had my old man hat, I could go grab that and put that on right now. You know, it reminds me akin to those guys that did the old, like, you know, CW is the only way to do ham radio kind of conversation that, you know, we all hate, you know, love to hate kind of thing. It's sort of getting that way with SDR, but I think with SDR, one of the things, at least because I spend a lot of time in software. I mean, I can't avoid it. I can't, you know, not do it. It's kind of the thing. And I do less hardware. Now, I would like to get more into hardware, but what happens is, like, you get this abstracted thing. Like, and so software becomes the replacement to how it talks to the device. And the device becomes this black box. And, you know, there are going to be people that know how that black box works and knows how it works really well and how to manipulate it and how to add to it and how to change it. And that's kind of still the same, I guess, way I look at it as the old approach to the guys who used to build the Hammerlin radios and all of their CW rigs and all that kind of stuff, because those guys knew how to put those stuff together. But then a lot of times they didn't use those to get on the air. They were more interested in building the technology for someone or building the technology for themselves and then trying it out and then moving on to the next thing. When it came to God.
No, I mean, I just to be clear, I'm not against the technology. I like the new stuff.
You heard it here first.
No, I own a Flex radio. I love the thing, right? Like, I mean, it's, you know, my DX10, I love that radio. You know, I thought that was going to be my radio for life. And then you guys convinced me to get the Flex.
I wasn't part of that. I mean,
yeah.
I definitely wasn't.
It was Ryan and Bill that really kind of started me thinking. But anyway, I mean, I'm all for it. But like I said, going back to the model airplanes, I can choose to do, I have some planes that are totally technologied up and can do crazy things, which is cool. But if I want to go back to old school, I can turn all that shit off. Right. So like I set up my planes where I can turn it off or turn it on. I can choose. Like if it's a calmer day and I can fly my plane without all that stabilization, I can just flick a switch and it's off. And then if it's like 45 mile an hour winds and I still want to fly, I can put it on and I can actually fly, you know, and have fun. I wouldn't want it to be where ham radio got to the point where it's like, you can only do it this way. And if this breaks down, you can't use it anymore. Because I don't think that's what ham radio the basis of it is. The basis is
fermentation.
Yeah, and it's also for, you know, emergency communications. I mean, we basically get on the air so we know how to operate a radio in case there was, you know, like a disaster or something, right? It's not like basically what we do. And if there was a disaster and everyone had computers or it was all on your cell phones and the cell phones didn't work, then, you know, if 20 years from now, everyone's cell phone was their radio and there were no other radios out there and you couldn't buy, you know, a paperweight and stick on your shack. You just had your cell phone. Everyone was doing HF on a cell phone. The cell phone thing crashes and you couldn't use it. You know, then what do you do? So I'm for both. I want the technology to happen, but I still want to be able to remember where it all came from and keeping it. So it's kind of like cars. Like I hate, like new cars are great with all the technology and the stuff, but try to go fix a car. Like engines never die anymore, but oh, your light is check engine light. Oh, that's a $700 chip. What? For what? To turn that light off? Like you got to be kidding me. And mechanics now, you know, I work with kids and the kids that want to go to become a car mechanic, they need to be smart in math and computers because a car is more a computer than it is a car. Yep. So it's not like when I was a kid and cars were just like it was an engine, you know, and you didn't have all the technology. Now it's more like a computer. So, I mean, my Jeep is not really a real Jeep because it's got so much freaking buttons and technology. I mean, I didn't even, I knew it, but I was like cruising back from the Cape. It's got cruise control that will adjust if a car's in front of you. Like it'll slow down so you don't have to like ram into the car, right? And you could adjust the distance. So like I had it far back, people were cut in front of me. I'm like, all right, I'm going to shorten this bad boy up. And now you're like, you're at a point where you can't get in there. So no one's going to cut me in front of me.
Interesting you say that. So like obviously you talked about all of like the cool bells and whistle stuff. And we talked about that, Paul and I, on the episode of like car integration stuff and being able to have your radio on the dashboard. And I think the one thing that I think a lot of us would love to see as me specifically would be like, I want more. And I mentioned this earlier and we'll probably swing at this now. It's like open source. I'm tired of the proprietary bullshit. Like this is like so ridiculous for a hobby that is really, like, you hear from a lot of people saying, oh, it's like the older generation. Oh, it's dying. There's just not enough new people coming in. Like, yeah, fine. I understand where you're coming from and why you're really saying that. But ultimately, it boils down to, like, a lot of the people, like myself, are, like, tired of dealing with the old proprietary, like, oh, well, you run this operating system or you have this car. You can't do A, B, or C because the manufacturer says you can't do that. And that sort of like how ham radio is today. I mean, you look at, you know, Yaesu, you look at ICOM, they don't talk to each other. There's no, like, there's no standards. There's no interoperability.
All the different connectors for the mics you have to have. I mean, it's, I agree. I mean, that's just different. It's kind of like, you know, remember when you had VHF and beta, you know, everyone's Sony beta, right? Everyone's going to go with the small ones. And we ended up, everyone went with the big tapes. Right. Yep. Not the small ones. Right. Then you had like CDs. Remember they had CDs like the size of records. Like they were huge. I forget what they were called. Like laser disc.
Yep. Yep.
Right. And then they had, I think it goes, but I mean, I agree. I mean, I think things should be universal. I mean, look at even you go to like phones, right? Everyone had a different connector. Now, basically everyone's going to USB-C for a charging thing. Right. You had Apple, Android, you had all different kinds. Every phone came out with a different charger. And people, I think, just were like, this is getting ridiculous. Like, I don't want to keep buying a new charger. And now you get a phone. They don't sell you a charger. You don't get a charger. You know, you just get the phone. And because everyone has 1,000 chargers out there already. So, I mean, again, I love the technology. I think it's really cool, the stuff that comes out. But I don't want manufacturers to forget about what ham radio is all about. And I think that's why I like the mobile stuff so much, because I like to just be able to pull out my bag and set up and, you know, throw a wire in a tree and talk around the world. I mean, to me, that's really cool. And what more do I need for that? Yeah. You know, could it be easy? Could it be better? Yeah, of course it could.
It could. And I think that's what we always push for. But at the same time, like, I think my frustration is that the manufacturers that are out there, they're providing us the equipment, don't give us the opportunity. Not that I'm looking for it is to tinker with the equipment to improve it. You know, we can based off of our licensing and, you know, and what's provided to us. But for 9 times out of 10, like in terms of listening to us as the community, they don't. Like they just iterate. Like they just like, okay, well, manufacturer A did this, so we're going to come out with the same thing. And, you know, we're just going to sell that same radio. And it's like, why not think a little bit different? Like, why not think a little bit like more like, oh, how can we make this more open source with the idea that if you're a Yaesu guy, Paul, and Todd's a Flex guy, we should all be able to like have fun. Like, I mean, we do obviously when we talk via RF, because that's really the only way we can communicate with one another. Thank God they don't have that like proprietary, like, oh, I got to work with the Flex codec yeah. to talk to Paul. Like, that's ridiculous. Thank God it's, you know, it's not that way.
Well, look at like when I got my technician license and I got my FD, what is it? The FD70, the Yaesu, right? I got it because it said it was digital. I had no idea there was different digital. I thought it was like, oh, analog digital. So if I get one that does both, I got everything. And then I get in there. I'm like, whoa, what is like, what? I can't get this digital guy and I can't get that. I can only get the Yaesu.
Yeah. C4FM. Like,
yeah. You guys have to buy this little device. That's $300 just in between to talk that mode.
Yeah. But I mean, it shouldn't, to me, that shouldn't be like, I agree that should be, you know, every radio should be able to talk to every radio in any mode, yeah. You know? If there was a way you could, I think if Yaesu or ICOM or even any radio came up and said, this radio will do all modes, all digital modes, you know, screw all you people. We figured out how to do it. It's now universal. You get this, you talk to everyone. It'd be a seller. You'd everyone would buy it.
Yeah, dude, I would love to, like you said, like I would love to be able to take my Yaesu and talk to, if Paul had an ICOM, and talk to, you know, via digital and not like care that like his is an ICOM radio and like just be able to have that conversation like we are, but whether it's through a repeater or simplex or whatever, but it's not like that now. And that's
right. And if I move to if you move to a different part of the, like the Northeast, I mean, I think Yaesu, you know, digital is probably, you know, Fusion is probably more popular, but I'm sure if you go someplace else, it might be DMR or whatever is more popular and Yaesu's not. I mean, I'm just assuming that there's some places it's more popular. So if I move, I got to go buy new radios because everyone's talking digital on this one. And it can be, I mean, I get it. They're trying to make money. They're trying to do it. But I think with ham radio, I mean, we all have the same goal and we all just want to talk to each other. So why don't you just make it universal, come up, sit together, have a sit down, have a couple beers and figure it out.
They don't drink beers and ICOM only likes wine. So
yeah.
Figure that one out.
So to Todd's point, right? Like, I mean, even, you know, like, so I have a hotspot that, you know, does cross mode. And so it does DMR to Fusion and back, but I can't add in other modes at the same time because the pie is limited in that aspect. Right. And so, yeah, I mean, like it would be fantastic if there was a device, whatever it was, right? Whether it was a Raspberry Pi or whether it was a stupid radio cell phone, like one device that you could do P25, you could do M17, you could do NXDN, you could do, you know, DMR, Fusion, any of them, and have it all work seamlessly where you could just talk to anybody on any other device in any mode. Unreal. That would be amazing.
Yeah. Ham radios would be like, no matter what the manufacturer would be coming off the shelves, I would assume people would be buying their flavor because they didn't have to buy the flavor to find out that, you know, Paul, he only talks D-Star. If I want to talk to Paul, I got to talk D-Star. And, you know, Todd only talks Fusion, so I got to have another separate radio for Fusion.
Well, right. Like, even our club, I mean, we have a Yaesu repeater. So, like, Eric and I can go digital if we want to. But, yep. You know, if you don't have a Yaesu radio, like Casey doesn't have one, he can't go digital. So when you and I start talking digital, all he hears is, what does that, he hear?
It's like, just noise. That. Yeah.
Just noise. Right. So it's kind of, you know, is that even, you know, and that's why I think a lot of, I mean, I don't know. I don't go on digital that much. I think I did before I got into POTA and stuff. I was messing around with that stuff more, but most of the time I'm just on analog. You know, I don't have a lot of, you know, I put it on the mode on my radio in my car that it'll swap back and forth. Like if someone calls, if it's a Yaesu repeater and it can do fusion and someone talks digital, it'll automatically just skip on, it'll tune into the digital. But I never hear anyone talking digital unless you're, you know, I always hear people, you know, I never hear anyone talking digital. It's more of like, hey, you want to go to digital? Sure.
Yeah. It's a forced hob. It's, I mean, we're obviously getting down a big tangent, but I think we talked offline a little bit that we mentioned the, we'll call the Chinese radio side of things. And I think one of the things that I really am seeing from the Chinese radio market that follows kind of what we're talking about, like get your head out of your ass and, you know, start doing more open source kind of things. The Chinese radio market's sort of adopting that a little bit where a lot of their radios are interfacing with, you know, other Android phones and iPhones to be able to, you know, do APRS and other related type programming activities of the radio via your phone, which is a good step because, you know, how many of us have 5 different programming cables and 5 different versions of RT systems or Yaesu or whatever to be able to program our radios? Or if we're lucky enough, we have a bunch of radios with SD cards in them where we can flash the, you know, an SD card. It's like that battle that they're solving quickly. I mean, granted, we all know Chinese radios are a gateway drug to get us into the hobby for a lot of folks. And some love them. Some stay with them forever. Others grow up and move on. That's totally fine. But bottom line is that it you can't ignore it because, you know, I know in our club, I'm seeing a lot more of a resurgence of it from a lot of individuals, a lot of older individuals too, which is awesome to see. They're embracing something that, you know, is a little different and out of the ordinary and not like the mainstream. And so that warms my heart, first and foremost. But two, it also helps them move forward because, like, I just saw an email floating around like, hey, how do I take my Baofeng version, whatever it is, and do APRS on it? I want to learn how to do APRS on it. And so, like, that to me is like, okay, I don't care what the radio is, but use a radio that allows you to do a lot more than, you know, limits or ties your hands. And I think that's kind of where we're, you know, where I feel like I can sum up this a little bit is that some of the bigger manufacturers, they tie our hands a little bit. They say, you know, you got to play in our sandbox and we don't want you to go to Yaesu or we don't want you to go to Kenwood or we don't want you to do whatever. And it's frustrating because it's like the hobby as a whole, it's all about RF. You know, that's really what it is, right, guys? I mean, it's RF. It doesn't matter. RF doesn't speak, you know, English only. Well, it sort of does, but, you know, I mean, just in general, I mean, I know a bunch of Spanish stations I hear from time to time on RF, but, you know, all that being said is like, it's not like, you know, you have to only do this one thing. It's like, it doesn't matter what the radio is you talk to. I can talk to an ICOM halfway across the world and I'm still talking RF to them. So, like, why can't we embrace open source? Why can't we, like, say, let's create like an environment that says, hey, all of us play happily in this space.
Well, the only way it's going to happen is if people stop buying the closed source stuff, right? Yeah. If everyone stopped buying ICOM and Yaesu and just bought Chinese stuff, then or they would iPhone. Have to change.
Apple.
It was coming.
Okay. iPhone, Android, and Google copied the iPhone. You know, it's kind of like my Jeep. It's been around since what, like 1942, I think.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden,
emotional damage.
Oh, I have to say about that one.
Then they come out with the Ford Bronco that looks kind of like a Jeep, but can't do anything a Jeep can do. Yeah. Copycats.
That's another podcast at another time.
Yeah. Copycats.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that is kind of the norm, no matter what hobby you're in or what you do, which is, you know, there's always the Ford versus, you know, Chevy or, you know, Dodge, you know, conversation.
Well, you know, our president of our club, Bill W1WRA, he always said, he goes, you know, I have all different, I'm not brand loyal. I'll go with, so he buys all different brands and tries it out. So he's not like, I'm Yaesu loyal or I'm ICOM loyal or.
He kind of likes his flex.
Yeah, well, he does.
Well, yeah.
But does he do that because he has to? Like that's kind of like my thought. It's like, okay, I wave my white flag, and it's like, because I have to buy everything in order to be able to, like, talk to everybody.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's the struggle, right?
Well, so yeah, because I mean, like, I've got Fusion radios, I've got DMR, you know, but like, I don't have the money to get into, you know, a P25 radio and an NXT end radio, and like, it's just a lot, you know. And I applaud the hams that can do it, and they've got, you know, shelves and shelves of HTs that can do all the different things, but. Man, I don't know. I think combining a radio and a cell phone is a neat idea. I don't think it's for me. I don't think it's I don't think it's worth the investment of $1,000 to play around with, in my personal opinion. But I think it's a neat thing. And if somebody feels like sending me one, I'll give you my address.
We will do a live Live Free and Ham review.
I agree. I mean, I think it's for me. I don't think it'd be for me. It's not something. I think it'd be kind of cool to play around with and try it out. But I wouldn't jump on it personally to say, oh, I got to get one of these. You know, it's just I got HTs. I got a cell phone. I use most of the time. I'm not using my HT anyway. I'm talking in the car. Right. So
the thought, would you buy an HT now? So here's kind of the blend. Like, you have a smartphone that has the RF components in it. What happens if it was reverse? Like, you had a traditional HT and It was a little bit bigger screen. It was touchscreen. It was Android based and it was still RF only, you know, but had that data component. Would you buy it? And it was $1,000.
So would I buy an HT that had a data component for $1,000?
Yeah. So say like it was an FT. We'll say it's the FT8. Like FT8. Yeah. Came out. Right. Weird call on that one, but.
Well, I mean, again, me personally, probably not, because I rarely use an HT. I mean, Most of the time, when I'm on 2 meters or 440, 99% of the time. Man, 95% of the time, I'm in my car, right? Okay. The other time, I'm in my shack, and it's because I'm doing a net, right? I don't know. I mean, when do I use an HT? Oh, I use an HT when I'm at...
let's say a mobile. Like, so all of a sudden, a mobile goes to like a 6-inch screen, you know, corner to corner, and it looks like, you know, an Android phone turned on its side, but it's all catered to an RF-specific... in, you know, kind of environment or experience, would you buy it?
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I love the radio I have now in my car. Like, I don't care if they come out with a newer version. I like that radio better than my 400. So I have the 300. I love it. Yep. It's my favorite. I mean, I would trade my 400 and get another 300, honestly. But I mean, I don't know. When I bought the 400, there wasn't a 300. And then when the 300 came out and Eric, you told me this is what you want for your car, because I bought the 400 with the idea of getting the 991A and moving the 400 to the car. And then my buddy,
you could buy the down payment on the 1F, but you didn't do that yet. So, or have <Yeah.
laughs> No,
I've got a, you know, down payment on, but anyway, all right.
I mean, would I do it? It depends. I mean, I guess it depends on what situation I'm in. Like, I don't know. I mean, eventually, I'm guessing the 300 will break down and die, and I'll have to get another radio. But
would it be more of a killer feature, or would it be more of like, hey, it's going to replace that radio that you have?
Yeah, it would have to be like a replacement. Like, I wouldn't have two of them in there. But I mean, again, what other features does it have? Huh?
You're not a real ham then. You're not a real ham if you can't have more than one radio, right? Is that the way it works?
No, I have more than one radio, but I'm not going to have two. Dual band radios in my Jeep at the same time. Like, what's the point?
Two radios.
The 300's like two radios, right? It's got two bands on it. Sure. I mean, it would all depend. Like, who knows? I mean, if I want to get in the QRP, maybe the one, what is it? The 1F, is that what they're calling it?
Yep.
Yeah, the 1F. You know, maybe that's something. I'm going to wait for you to get yours and play around with it and see if I like it. And then I'll decide. I'm more of the person that I like to play with the stuff first and see if I like it, if it's like something I need. I'm not someone that wants to, oh, the new thing came out. You know, the new phones come out. Yeah. What'd you say?
You're not bleeding edge then, right? You don't want to tread on that bleeding edge line.
Yeah, like the new Flex radios came out. Like, I'm happy with my Flex. Like, why do I need a new one? Because the new one came out. Oh, it's got a different, you can do that. Well, I'm never going to use that. So as long as it keeps working, I'm good. Yeah, okay. Maybe they come up with one that'll be that I need to have that. Okay, well, then that'll be. But for right now, I mean, I'm pretty.
Okay.
All right. Now what I would do, right? What I would do is I would find somebody like maybe Ryan and say, yeah, hey, listen, you should buy this and try it out for like a year. And then when the next new thing comes out, you know, like I'll just take it off your hands for a really good price.
Oh, a good deal. Right. I'll do a consignment type thing. So obviously that's a better strategy, Paul. I recommend that, you know, if you've got a good friend who like has deep pockets, then, you know, definitely encourage them to spend their money. And that's what we kind of do here on this show. But so if you
spend,
you
know, Paul, spend other ham's money,
so let me frame it for you. So if you had a 7300 replacement that was more, we'll say Android like, you know, that, you know, looked, that was newer of the 7300s and, you know, was in still in the decent price point, like less than sub 1200 or whatever. Would you trade out to have more software specific, of a radio than traditional hardware radio like the 7300? Or would you kind of, you know, which way would you go?
So I suppose if I was looking to replace the 7300 down the road, right.
It's like, 20 years old anyway, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, so say 20 years from now, you know, this new Android device comes out via ICOM, right? And they say,
it'd be Apple.
and they go, hey,
Android will be out of business.
Android will never go out of business. So years and years and years ago when like Android was the new thing, I was very into, you know, hacking and modifying the Android open source software because it was a ton of fun. I could overclock my phone and I could, you know, make it so that I could run apps that weren't supposed to run on my phone and do things that weren't supposed to be done on the phone. And so in that aspect, it was really neat and it was a ton of fun to play and experiment with. And that's kind of where I get my love in radio is I love to experiment and play with things, you know, testing theories and seeing, well, how far can I push this piece of hardware until this piece of hardware just doesn't work anymore? And so, I mean, I think that's what I would end up doing is I would find a used one and I would abuse the hell out of it and I would hack it and modify it. And then once I got it exactly as I wanted it, I'd leave it be because 6 months down the road, something new is going to come up and I'm going to have to go through it all over again.
Okay. Yeah. Not a bad strategy. I'm with you kind of on that. Like, although I do believe in the buy once, cry once philosophy, and I'll apply it when it needs to be applied. 9 times out of 10, when I buy a radio, I'll buy it for a, you know, feature that attracts me to it. Now, if a radio came out that was along the lines of open source, meaning that the radio and hardware were kind of abstracted from each other, so the radio is just the radio components to be able to get RF out to then the wigglies out through the antenna, and it didn't matter what that looked like, and the operating system did all of the fun like waterfalls and, you know, filtering and, you know, crossover into APRS and being able to do digital HF and all of those things that I would hope for, I would probably buy it, you know, and it wouldn't have to be Android or Apple specific, although I don't think Apple would be on that bandwagon whatsoever. Apple is just not in that, you know, that's not their space. They're just not going to do it. Android is the, you know, hackers kind of, you know, platform, which, you know, serves it really well. So I would say that the two things that would really have to swing me into a place where I'd be like, okay, software has a place in ham radio is that open source would have to be predominant across all platforms, no matter what the manufacturer is. And we alluded to it earlier, but I don't care if I'm a Yaesu guy or an ICOM guy next week or a Kenwood guy the week after. I want my radio to do all of the same things because fuck, we're talking RF. That's simple. I mean, like, that's the end goal. RF is where it's going. And, you know, adding the internet capabilities to go out to the internet, well, that's a plus. That's a convenience for me. So I think if those benefits were there in the device and the device didn't have the limitations because I was pigeonholed to a specific type of mode or whatever, then, you know, I would probably buy it. I mean, like I said, Flexes, they're expensive. We all know, but Flexes have a capability that are open sourced. I love my Flex in being able to talk to the API and do whatever the hell I want with it. Like, I could tell the radio to switch bands and tweak all the stuff that I need. And I don't have to have it run on a Windows machine. I can run it on a Mac. I can run it on a Linux machine. It's independent of, you know, whatever, who it's talking to or from. And so I think that's like kind of where I'd hope this like whole iteration would go in the next 5 years. Like, I love to see the cell phone stuff take off, but I don't want cell phones in my radios. Like, I think we're all in agreement there that, like, I talk enough on a phone. I barely talk enough on the phone, but when I do, I don't want to talk, you know, anything except RF. And so, you know, do not put cell phone, but having data. Yeah. I think that's a plus. I like, that's a benefit to pull down software apps and updates and plugins and stuff like that for a convenience factor. Anything besides that, if an emergency hit, like we all talked about, my RF still works. My cell phone, bye-bye, tower's gone. You know, it's all like, you know, whatever. I don't care. Oh, hey, the cell phone service is off. Yeah, fine. I'm fine. I'm running RF over a WinLink. You know, no big deal or whatever be the case. So that's where I think the hobby is hopefully going in the next, you know, 5-10 years, is that, you know, we're less proprietary and more open source. And all playing in a nice sandbox. But, you know, I don't see that between manufacturers. I don't think that they're going to want to. I mean, we obviously see that in other areas of, you know, stuff and other hobbies, like Todd mentioned, with flying and other sources, that, you know, you're not going to get that. But, you know, it's an interesting conversation. So, you know, any last kind of final thoughts before we kind of wrap things up?
Well, I think, you know, the technology does intrigue younger people to get more involved. So I think if we just stayed old school, I think the hobby would die. So I think you have to have that. But on the other hand, you know, it's not, to me, we should go both ways. You know, we should still be able to have the basic stuff, but then we should have the opportunity to go in and go with the technology and see where it takes us, just not to forget what ham radio is all about and not make it so it's almost like, almost not real anymore. You know what I mean? So
the both and for you. Cool. Okay.
So Eric, I think you hit the nail on the head when you said that, you know, like when somebody is looking to buy something, right, there has to be a feature that truly stands out, that makes it so you're like, you know what, like, I have to have that radio because that radio has that feature and I really, really want it. And for me, like, the ID52 is on that list. And the reason for that is that auto repeater finding function. Like, if everybody had that built into their radios, holy shit, look out. Like, what a game changer that would be. You know, when I drive up and down the East Coast, you know, I'll have New England repeaters programmed in ahead of time. I'll have Florida repeaters programmed in ahead of time. But all throughout the way, like, I'm on the calling frequencies and I'm hoping that there's somebody there. Yeah. You know, wouldn't it be nice as I'm coming through New Jersey, I could hit a button and go, hey, you know what? Just find me the local repeaters. Just find them.
Dude, that'd be awesome. You know?
Yeah. So there's definitely advantages to the technology, but like, start working together, people. You know, like, we're not looking for a lot. We're not asking for the world. We don't need these, you know, dual receivers and four receivers and whatever nonsense, you know, that you could throw into an SDR giant radio. Just give us the no nonsense and let us customize it the way that we want.
Yeah, with you on that. Yeah, it's an interesting challenge we're all faced within the hobby. And, you know, we definitely want to hear your comments. You know, we've got a Discord. You can head on over. The link's in our description below. So you know, let us know what you think. I mean, you know, we shared our opinions, and obviously when we talked about the integration with car radios, a few of you chimed in, but, you know, head on over to our Discord, you know, be part of it, you know, have the conversation, check over the show's channel and talk a little bit over there. We'd love to hear your input. And, you know, we want to keep this conversation going because we're hoping, you know, it'll kind of move the needle more towards that open source kind of approach. Like, the hobby is a place that RF is free and available to everybody that has, you know, at least in the ham radio world, a license to use it. You know, so therefore the hardware that talks to that stuff should be just about the same as well. And that will only, you know, bring more innovation and bring more customization. And really just, you know, make the hobby that much more open for, you know, obviously the younger generation, younger than us, and, you know, those folks that are our age, you know, that want to tinker and play around in that space. So, you know, outside of that, you know, I want to say just, you know, again, thanks for being part of this community. You know, remember, if you haven't subscribed, you know, what have you been doing? So, you know, as always, like we always say, you know, there are several ways you can connect with the show. You can head over to our shop at livefreeandham.com/shop. Pick up some merch. You know, like I said, if we see you out there, we are going to stop you and say hello. I did that at Hamex, and I think his call sign, and KC1IPA was his call sign. Now, if I butchered that, my apologies.
IPA?
Yes, IPA. Well, coolest call sign. That's why I remember it. You know, he was wearing a Live Free and Ham shirt, and I stopped him, and I said, thank you for wearing this shirt. And he pinged me back and said, you know, anytime, next time you're down at the Cape or whatever, come by. And I'm taking him up on that offer. You know, we'll go down and work some POTA and we'll grab some beers. There's good you know, craft beers down there on the Cape there. So with that, you know, like I said, wearing the merch, wear it proudly. We love it. You know, we want you guys to love it as well. And so if you listen on Apple Podcasts, which some of us do, you know, if you're not an Android user, you can leave us a review on iTunes there. We don't usually get a whole lot, but you can always leave us a review in the link in our show notes via SMS. We want to hear from you. Please take 2 seconds. It takes nothing more than you just texting us by clicking that link. Tell us how much you love us. Tell us how you hate us. We'll make sure we read both those. Paul will, you know, put a lot of emphasis on the bad parts. So either way, it'll be all good. And you can always support the show, as we always say, through our Patreon and buy us a beer links. And those are all in our show notes below. And if you want to reach any of our hosts, contact us via livefreeandham.com. And thanks again for listening, guys. We appreciate y'all. And 7-3.
7-3.
7-3.